We went to Baltimore yesterday, my family and I, to see my brother down and helping up mission. And I saw a bunch of older guys driving RVs down the road, and it reminded me of Preacher. But I'm sure he wasn't driving as slow as them. All right, Romans chapter 11. We'll finish this up today, Lord willing. We only got a few more verses to go. And I've had a blessing being able to study this stuff out and look over these things. It's always good to go over everything again. You might have heard a lot of this stuff before, and you've heard the Bible stories, and you've read the Bible through, and you just got to keep reading it through and through again, and it's good. It's good to keep going over this stuff. But last week, we finished up around verse 28, and I'd just like to pray real quick. Father, thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for allowing us to meet here this morning. Lord, I thank you for your word. God, and just I'm grateful for how you've spoken to me through this word, and I pray that you please bless these folks now this Sunday school hour. Bless the kids downstairs, Lord, and across the way there. And just pray that you, Lord, help us to draw closer to you today, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, verse 29. It says, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. And I'm telling you right now, there's things that God has done he's not going to repent of. Now, he repented back in Genesis. He said, it repenteth me that he made man because of man's evil thoughts and the things that man was doing. But I want you to take a look about these gifts. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. Kind of getting away from the main theme of the chapter, Romans chapter 11 has a lot to do with the nation of Israel and the spiritual blessings that we get from the nation of Israel. But here we're going to get in, it's kind of getting away from that, and it's directing it all back toward God because that's where all our blessings come from in the first place. It's all because of God. But check this out, these gifts here. Look in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift, notice that, of Christ. Whereof he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Look down in verse 11. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Now, we've been talking about through the last couple weeks about, you know, just a little bit about dispensations and everything like that. And the way I understand dispensations is God dispenses or reveals something to a certain person or a certain group of people at different times throughout history. I mean, it's just that simple. That's how I get it. Maybe you have a better definition. I don't know, but that's how I see it. God reveals or dispenses something to a certain group or a certain person throughout the ages. And that's what dispensations are. But look at that. Look at how the verse is worded in verse 11. I was reading this and it kind of clicked in my mind there. It said, and he gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists. You see, he dispenses different things at different times. Are there apostles today? No. I don't think so. I don't know. Those apostles were around the time of Christ. Are there prophets today? You could say there are today. You could say that if you can take this book, the Bible says that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. We have the testimony of Jesus Christ. I can prophesy right now where I'm going when I die. Not because I'm some great thing, not because I'm some, you got all these wackos out there today that have been throughout history, you know, like the Moonies. I had this book, I think Brother Ken got it for me, about these different cults. And Mooney, the god, the moon, what's his name was Moon, and he went around saying that he was, you know, a direct prophet of God, and that's what Muhammad says, and that's what all these cults say. And they try to get you taken away from the truth. And but you know what? If you can predict the future, you're a prophet. And we can because we don't have to predict it because we have God's written word. It's right there. Now, I can't prove to you any other way that I'm going to heaven when I die but what the word of God says. Amen. And that's enough for me. I don't know about you, but that's enough for me. And he gave some evangelists. We know what they are. They go around and exhorting Christians and trying to see souls saved. They're in today, I would say. And then look where we are at the end of it, and some pastors and teachers. And that's exactly, throughout in the church age, that's exactly where we are, the last of the list. Pastors and teachers, that's what we're down to. And so those are gifts that God has given to the church. And what they're calling is, look in verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints. Now, I read that, and the Lord kind of spoke to my heart about the perfecting of the saints. And it's real easy to get kind of angry and bitter at things. But I'm here to tell you, the truth is, a lot of the saints don't really care for the gifts that God has given them. They don't care for the pastors and teachers that God's given them. They don't care for the gifts that God has given them. A lot of them don't. You know why? Because we're in a society today, in a day and age, where everything is all about your preference.
That's right.
And the truth is, your preference doesn't mean a cotton-picking thing when it comes to the Word of God.
Amen.
And that stands for me. You know, I have sat in pews before, and I've heard preachers preach, and I'm like, man, I just shut them out. Just because of my preference or because of something that was in me, that means nothing. And you know what? When you do that kind of thing, you're missing out on a blessing from God. Because God can use anybody as long as they're preaching the truth and they're using the Word of God and with the Spirit of God, you can get something from them. And the problem is too many people are stuck in this mindset, well, it's my life, it's my way, it's me, everything. And that means nothing when it comes to the Word of God. I am sold on the thought that the Word of God is so far more vast and beyond just my little life. That's like totally, yeah, exactly. I hope so. Amen. And you need to get that in your heart and in your mind. The Word of God is so much bigger, and even my salvation. Now, that's a huge thing. But in the grand scheme of things, my salvation, it for me personally, is such a small thing compared to everything that God's doing in the whole list of things. And that's going against the grain of the way the world is today. If you have that mindset and you have that in your heart, that's totally contrary to what the world says. Everything's about you today and what's good for you and what's good for your feelings and what's good for this and that. But you know what? That means very, very little when it comes to the Word of God. And so you need to learn to appreciate pastors and teachers that God's put in your life, no matter who it is, as long as they're preaching the truth, of course. Now, if they're wackos and they're out there preaching the wrong Bible or preaching false doctrine, okay, then write them off. Forget about them. For the perfecting of the saints, look at verse 12, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And that does lack a lot in the church. Not just this church, but in the church in general, the edifying of the body of Christ. You need to edify one another. And that's what God gave these gifts for. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So that list of gifts that the Lord gave to the church in Ephesians chapter 4. Turn to 1 Corinthians 12, I'm sorry. But that first list we just looked at there, gifts that God gave to the church, they are people. And we're going to look at some other gifts. This is all New Testament stuff here. And this is going to relate to what we were talking about in the rest of the chapter, Romans chapter 11. Let's see here. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1. Look at this. Notice the words. Note, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away under these dumb idols, even as ye were led. And I thought about that thing. And a lot of these false doctrines that are out there today, you know, they are from dumb Gentiles. If you think about it, if you read the history of some of these cults and these churches, they're just dumb Gentiles that got led away, that got led astray by something. Ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away under these dumb idols. And notice who Paul's talking to. He's talking to the Corinthians. Even as ye were led, whereof I have given you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Notice that. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. And so here's another thing that I find that happens within even Bible-believing churches. You put God in your little box, and God can only operate the way you know how, the way you've seen it happen. And that's not exactly how God does things. God can definitely do things way outside your box. So you go over to another country, and you'll see how God operates outside of your box. Now, you know, I went to Ukraine and all that stuff, and I saw how God operated a whole lot different than God operates here. But you go to any other nation, man, God's going to operate differently than he did in Ukraine and differently than he did in the United States. God operates outside of your box. there's different operations. You see that? That's a gift. You know, that's a blessing that God is not just narrowed down to just you and I. He's got it for all. He's got his blessings and his gifts for all. It says here, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given the spirit of the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. It's all by the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. Now, watch out there. Turn over to, let's turn over to 2 Timothy. Turn over to 2 Timothy. Have you seen anybody get healed by some man? Now, I think this is important to talk about because there's a lot of Christians sitting in Bible-believing churches that watch TV preachers, and they get led away by this foolishness that's on the TV. And I'm telling you right now that if you've seen some man put their hand on another person's forehead and they were healed after that, that wasn't the Spirit of God. I can guarantee you that. Now, you know, you're saying, well, are you putting God in your box? Well, no. But if you pay attention to what the Scripture says, you'll see that there were certain signs given to apostles and to the disciples in the early church that are no longer in place anymore. It kind of fizzled out in the Scriptures, within the time frame of the Scripture. And here's a perfect Scripture that we use for that. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 20. Look at verse 19. Salute Prisca and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus abode at Corinth. We were talking about the Corinthians there. But Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. There's Paul talking. Now, Paul had laid his hands on people. Peter laid his hands on people. Those apostles had the ability to lay their hands on peoples and to heal them. All right? The gifts of healing by another spirit. Now, turn over to Mark chapter 16. Turn over there real quick. There's some wild stuff out there, and I know you've all heard it. First time I came into this church, I thought it was a serpent handler church because I'd never seen people running the bases and people shouting amen. But it ain't like that, you see. Turn over to Mark chapter 16. It's interesting that we're talking about those gifts of healings and some of these things in light of Romans chapter 11 dealing with Jews, because the Bible says that the signs are given to the Jew. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We'll look at that verse here in a minute. But look at Mark 16. All right, he said in verse 15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's a great verse. We could apply that. He said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Notice that the emphasis is on believing. That's what salvation comes from, faith and believing. It's not the baptism. Verse 17, and these signs shall follow them that believe. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and shall recover. You think you could do that today? We've got medicine now that can help us if you're lucky enough, if you're close enough to a hospital. But if you're out 100 miles away from any hospital and you're out there playing around with rattlesnakes and you get bit, I want to see how well you wake out. Now, there's old tricks and stuff you hear and you see on those old cowboy movies. They suck the poison out wherever it bites them, but you won't be that lucky, I guarantee it. When I was in Bible school, they showed us this video of these serpent handlers, and they were playing around with these snakes and playing psychedelic rock music and dancing around with these rattlesnakes, and you saw this snake come and lash the dude right in the face. And I laughed because I was like, you wouldn't, any idiot that's dancing around with some snake like that deserves to get bit. And but, you know, it turns out that dude died. That's a shame. That's, I mean, it's like the old saying, you play with fire, you get burned. You mess around with the snake, you're going to get bit. And but I wanted to tell you that, just bring that stuff up about these gifts and these signs, they differ. And look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 real quick. Let's look there, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians 1:21 will start. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Verse 22, for the Jews we require a sign. Now, Romans chapter 11, we've been talking about Jews, about the nation of Israel, and how God has dealt with them through history, how he's not finished with them. The church is not going to replace them, never has, never will replace them. God just opened up through their unbelief, he opened up his mercy and his grace to all because of their unbelief. And we'll read that verse here in a minute. But it says, for the Jews require a sign. And in our text in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it says that there is a gift of healings. And what it's talking about there in the Corinthian church, if you read in Acts chapter 18, when Paul was in Corinth, there was a whole mess of Jews in that town. Corinth, in that time, in that age, was a working class town. It was a naval town for the Greek nation, for the Roman nation, actually. But even before that, Greece, when Greece was the world power, it was a naval town, and there was shipbuilding going on there. And by this time in history, there was a mess of Jews up there living and building synagogues. And Paul was preaching to them Corinthians and to those Jews because there was all kinds of mess going on within that church. All kinds of different doctrine, all kinds of sin going on, all kinds of fleshly things going on. And he had to sort these things out. And that's why he says in verse 22 there, for the Jews require a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom. He's showing the difference there between the Jew and the Greek. And he gave these gifts. I'm talking about these gifts again back in 1 Corinthians 12. He said, verse 9, for to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit. And you know what the Lord kind of showed me? There's medicine. The Lord can give a doctor wisdom on how to deal a certain thing. You see that? I believe that's the gift that Paul is talking about. Not some miraculous thing. Could it happen? It did happen in the New Testament. It did happen in the book of Acts. Men of God put their hands on people. These apostles did that. But you know what? In this day and age, I believe that God can give a mother wisdom on how to treat something for a child. That's a gift of God. A God can give a mother a certain intuition on what to do or know that there's something bad wrong with that child and get it to help where it needs it. That's a gift from God. That's how I see it. He said, to another by the word knowledge by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, verse 10, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy. Now, what are those miracles? I mean, they talk about raising people from the dead. No man in the 20th century, 21st century has raised someone from the dead. It has not happened. It hasn't happened. It happened in the old days, in the Bible times, but it hasn't happened anymore. Because it was to the Jews, the Jews required a sign, and they were Jewish apostles that were doing it.
Right.
See, it all ties in. You think I'm trying to get off. I'm not trying to get off on some other thing. It all ties together with Romans chapter 11. To another, diverse kinds of tongues, and you can go on all day about that. To another, the interpretation of tongues. We know that tongues are just different languages. There's no heavenly tongue that man can, you can just jabber on and say you're talking to God. I can talk to God in plain English. I don't even have to speak and I can talk to God. Imagine that. You know, I forget the church, I say church father, I hate saying that, but there was some figure in history that said the fewer the words, the better the prayer. A lot of times we like to get down and there's nothing wrong with that. I like talking to God out loud, but sometimes, man, there's nothing better when you're in prayer and you are in contact with God and you're on your knees and you just know that you're in the presence of God and you just be quiet. There ain't nothing better than that. When you're just directly in the presence of God, you don't have to say nothing. And you just minister, the Lord ministers to you, and you worship God on your knees quietly. That's a great time. That's a good place to be. And God can speak to you better and more clearly in times like that than any other time. So that's why you need to get alone with God and just hush up sometimes. Just be quiet. And you might get something from the Lord. So there's all kinds of gifts here, folks. There's all kinds, and it goes on. And look at the end of this chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This relates right to Ephesians 4, where we started a second ago. Look in verse 28. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. You see that? Diversities of tongues. It's not just you speaking a common language and then another language of God. It's diversities of tongues. Spanish, English, German, Russian, Italian. Go on. You can go on with it. Chinese, Mandarin, you know, all these different languages. There's so many different languages around the world. I used to know the number, but there's tons of different dialects. It's unbelievable. In India alone, there's so many dialects. In the Philippines, Somebody ought to ask the missionary coming tonight, how many different dialects are in the Philippine language? Tons of them. Miss Nun knows. There's Miss Nun right there. She'll tell you. Tons of different dialects in the Philippine language, in the Philippines. Diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all preachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet, here you go, check this out. But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way. And then in the next chapter talks about charity. And charity, you know, we can preach on that, and that's great preaching, but charity outweighs all that stuff. It outweighs all of that. It tells you, you read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and it tells you if you have all these things and have not charity, it's nothing. So if you talk about a gift, man, if you have the gift of charity, man, what a gift. And you're able to give that out to people, there's nothing there. That's a great gift. Charity, true love. All right, turn back to Romans chapter 11. It's pretty wild how you can go 15 different places on one verse. It says in verse 29, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. There are some things God's not going to repent of, and he never has and never will. All right, verse 30. For as ye in times past have not believed, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief, talking about the Jews, because Jesus came into his own and his own received him not, salvation was opened up to Gentiles. So through their unbelief, we as Gentiles have obtained mercy. And thank God. Verse 31, even so have these also now not believed, but that through your mercy, they also may obtain mercy. So, you know, as I was saying in the first couple classes that we had, there's a demonic spirit of anti-Semitism in the world today, and it can even bleed into your heart, and it can even seep down in your thoughts about anti-Semitism and how, you know, it's just, it can happen. And but I'm, like I said last week, I'm glad that I don't have those kinds of thoughts and feelings because I got a Jew living inside me. And that stuff is rampant in the world today. There's anti-Zionism going on all over the place. And it might be subtle, and it is subtle. The serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, but that thing were, is a demonic straight from the devil himself, how he hates those Jews because God promised something for those people. And the devil's going to do whatever he can to interrupt what God is doing. He tries to interrupt what God's doing in your life, and he's going to try to interrupt what God is going to do with the nation of Israel. And that's why he's going to kill millions of them in the tribulation. They're going to be beheaded. And folks who keep the testimony of Jesus and keep the law in the tribulation, they're going to be beheaded. Anything that has to do with Jesus Christ or God, the devil is going to have his day with them during the tribulation. And he's wreaking havoc on people today, on Christians today, and he's even wreaking havoc on Jews today. The nation of Israel is surrounded by nothing but Arab nations. And it's a miracle that they're still around, that they're even prospering the way they are. Now, they're having a hard time. They have a hard time. But the fact that they're in the position that they're in and that they're as powerful and as strong as they are is the fact that God himself is allowing them to do that, and allowing them to stay alive and allowing them to prosper. So he said here, he said, even so have these also now not believed that through your mercy, they also may obtain mercy. You see who Paul's talking to? What's the book we're in? Romans. It's pretty interesting. He's talking to Christians in Rome. The book to the letter, the epistle to the Romans. That's interesting. You know, you can really stretch that thing out. And the Holocaust was put on by a bunch of Roman Catholics. Right. Roman Catholics were behind all that thing. And the Pope at that time, he turned his head and turned his back to everything that was going on right in his backyard. Right. You know how much power he has over Austria and Poland and Hungary, and all those nations right there, the Pope, Spain, Germany, France, the Pope owns all that. The Vatican Church, the Vatican owns all that right now. And that's where all those atrocities were going on. You mean to tell me with his power and with his clout, he couldn't have stopped something? He's not of Jesus Christ, and he's not of God. Yeah. Ain't no way. Ain't no way. And you know what? I bet you it would happen again today. It would. I guarantee it would. because it's not any better. It's not any more human. Even though people push humanism today, and in society today, humanism is the new religion, as along with atheism and along with evolution, humanism is the next big thing. It would still happen today. I guarantee it would, because the devil is the god of this world. And that's his church, and that's his operation right there. And he will make it happen if he could. All right, verse 32, for God hath concluded them all in unbelief. They're all, Jew or Gentile, they're all in unbelief. Turn to Romans chapter 3. Turn back here. Now, Paul addresses Jews and Gentiles throughout most of his epistles. If you read his epistles, look at this. Romans chapter 3, verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. What'd that verse say back there? It said, all, he hath concluded them all in unbelief. Here it says that they are all under sin. Verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Jew, Gentile, doesn't matter who you are. He's concluded them all under sin in this age of grace that we live in today. And the only way for salvation is through the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And that's Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, it wasn't that way. There's all kinds of scriptures, and Baptists and Christians in the world today try to say that people are all saved the same way, and it can't be. Now, they've taken scripture out of context in the New Testament in Galatians and Romans, and they try to prove that thing that way. But if you just read all around it, it tells you clearly that that's not what it's talking about. And that's all you got to do. If there's something you don't understand in the Bible, folks, read the whole thing around it. Read the whole chapter. Don't just take one verse and say, all right, I'm going to go with it this way, just because so-and-so said so, or whoever said so. Read the whole chapter, and I guarantee you'll get more light. The only way you're going to understand this Bible is if you read the whole thing. This book, hey, look, before you read any commentary, before you read any other book, get a King James Bible and a concordance. And that thing right there will teach you the Word of God. That is how you can learn the Word of God. With sitting down with a big old concordance, you find a word that strikes you, and you follow, you check out all those references on that word. That's how you learn the Bible. Now, I thank God for, you know, I've had great teaching. I've got a good Bible right here, a good reference Bible that I love. But I'm here to tell you, there weren't no better times than when I find a word and I follow that thing out and I check all those references in a concordance in the King James Bible. That's how you learn definition of words. That's how you learn what the Bible has to say about things. And that's what you got to do. If you want to know, it's there for you. Verse 32 in Romans 11. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Verse 33, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. Paul's getting excited there. See the exclamation point? Oh, the depth and riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. Here he's gone into all this thing about how God's not done with Israel, and we've chased, I don't know how many references the last couple weeks, and there's a whole lot more that I probably missed that you can find. And he says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. This is a great passage here. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. In verse 9 it says, but as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Oh, the depth. What do you say back there? Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. There are things, man, that you can preach on. You can preach about heaven, but, man, it's a whole lot deeper than we make it to be. You can't conceive it fully. I mean, there's been helps out there, and you can, even if you have a great imagination, it's hard to conceive such a thing, such a place. It's hard to conceive such a place as hell. But it's there. It says, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. The gifts and the inheritance that we'll receive when we go to heaven. And it's far beyond what you could ever imagine. Verse 10, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. So they are revealed by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Man, there's nothing better than when you're walking in the Spirit and you're reading the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God, he sheds light on that Word. There's nothing, that's great. I keep saying there's nothing better, but man, it's walking with the Lord. There's nothing better than that. That's all encompassed in walking with the Lord. When you're in prayer and you're in the presence of God, you're worshiping God in truth and in sincerity. And when you're in the Word of God and you're following all this stuff and you're into it, I'm telling you, it's a great place to be. It's like that song, In the Hollow of His Hand. You feel like you're right in God's hand right there. And he's teaching you. God himself, you, dealing with you. You ever been to a place like that? If you haven't, you don't know what you're missing out on. If you haven't, God will deal with us. That's a blessing. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. If it weren't for the Spirit of God, I wouldn't know nothing about God. There are so many gods in the world today, and man puts his label on God. They don't know it because they don't have the Spirit of God. And I'll keep reading. It says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, who cares what man has to say, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judge of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Turn back to Romans 11. That verse is right there too. Look at verse 34. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? Not me. Turn to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. You're going to tell me that you can instruct God on what's right and what's wrong? You going to tell God about your personal preference when you stand before him at the judgment seat of Christ? Are you going to instruct him on where he was wrong and what he did wrong in your life? I don't think you will. Look in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 12. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and meted out heaven with the span and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord? Who hath directed? Can you direct the Spirit of the Lord? I like what George Mueller, he said, move men by God through prayer. Could you imagine if you can get a hold of God and you get the Holy Spirit to move on a man to make him move? It says, who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor hath taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him and taught him in the path of judgment and taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? You see what that's saying there? He's asking, God himself is asking, you think you got what it takes to teach me what's right and wrong? You think you can tell me when I was right in judgment or when I was wrong in judgment? Based on your belief, based on your experiences? Doesn't matter what your belief or experiences were. It's God. And what his word says. Look how God answered Job. Turn back to Job chapter 38. Here's Job, a more righteous man than you and I. I guarantee you he was more righteous than you and I. According to the flesh. Now I realize in Jesus Christ we're righteous and all that. But I mean, if you just got down to brass tacks, right down to it, your daily life, I bet you Job was more righteous. Righteous living. Verse 38. Look how the Lord answered Job. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? You know, that's what a lot of, you'll find if you ever take time to talk to people about the Lord or about the Bible, they'll answer things and say things without any lick of knowledge about it. They think they know knowledge. They read something on Google or they saw something on the History Channel, but they don't have any scripture. They don't have any, the Spirit of God's not behind what they're saying. It's something they read on the internet. He said, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man. For I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare, if thou hast understanding. Where were you when he laid the foundations? Do you know where you were? Do you know where you were before you were born? Where were you 150 years ago? You know, there's people who believe in reincarnation. That's wacky. But where were you 150 years ago? You don't know. Were you in heaven? I don't know. Does the Bible tell it? Jesse, do you know, does the Bible say anything about that? I don't know. I really don't know. Where was I 1,000 years ago? Was I even thought of? Was I even anything? I don't know. But I'm here now. I think. No. He said, where were you? Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? If you talk to evolutionists or anybody, anybody, it doesn't matter if they believe in evolution or if they're, you know, the most theological, they have so many degrees in theology, it doesn't even matter. You can stump them people too. Just ask them that. Where were you 150 years ago? Scripture, man. The scripture is so far beyond than what any man has to say, than anything. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? See, the Lord just keeps digging it in, if thou knowest. Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who shut up the sea with doors? The sea's got doors. When it brake forth as if it had issued out of the womb? When I made the cloud, the garment thereof, and thick darkness, a swaddling brand for it, and break up for it my decreed place, and set bars and doors, and said, hitherto shalt thou come, but no further. The Lord's got power over the storms and over the weather and over the world and, you know, the earth and everything that happens in it. He commands it. And here shall thy proud waves be stayed. Hast thou commanded the morning since thy days? Have you ever told the sun to come up in the morning? No. No. He said, have you commanded the morning since thy days and caused the day spring to know its place? See how little we are? But we're so full of ourselves, too. I'm full of myself. And that's why you hear preachers say, get in the Word of God. Because when you get in the Word of God, you realize how small you are. When you get in the presence of God and you're walking in the Spirit of God, you realize, man, how big he is. He must increase and I must decrease. He increases first, then you decrease. That's a great place to be. And in this whole chapter, man, the Lord just grills Job, saying, where were you? Where were you? You think you got everything figured out? I don't think you do. Turn back to Romans chapter 11. And we'll finish it up here. Thank God. Hallelujah. I was trying to get it done in 3 weeks, but it didn't work out. It says, for who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again. Now here's something for you folks. Whatever you give to God, he can take it and he'll use it. Look what it says. Who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again. Whatever sacrifice you lay at his feet, it'll be recompensed unto you tenfold, 50-fold, 100-fold, if you would just lay it down, whatever it is. I'm not talking about some little pet sin or whatever. If you just lay yourself down, yourself. Look in the next chapter, first verse. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You think about how great God is, and you want to get in line with him once you realize how big he is. That's the first thing. Realize who he is and how big he is, and then you get down and lay yourself down. And you'll see how successful you really are. You talk about success, get down. The way up is down. That's exactly right. You ain't nothing and I ain't nothing. And I thank God for that. I'm glad that I'm nobody. And but in Jesus Christ, I'm everything. How about that? Amen. Amen. But it ain't about me. It's because of him. It's because of him in me. All right, look at the last verse of chapter 11. For of him and through him and to him are all things. to whom be glory forever. Amen. That's a heavy verse, man. Man, I don't even know where to go with that. But God said, it says, of him, through him, and to him. It all comes from him, it goes through him, and it goes to him. It's God. That's who we deal with, folks. And church, man, I love church, and I thank God for it. But, man, you better realize your place when you come here. We're here to worship God. We're here to give him thanks. We're here to give him, show him that we're sacrificing ourselves as best we can for his glory. That's what it boils down to. It's for him and him alone. Amen. Now, it helps us. It does. It helps us. God, you know what? And that goes right with it. I know it sounds like I'm contradicting myself, but I'm not, because when you give him the glory and your thoughts are filled with him and it's for him, you get more of a blessing than you could ever imagine. When we go to the nursing home, you know, it's a blessing to those people, but you know what? I get more of a blessing going to the nursing home than those people probably get from me. That's probably for sure. You talk to some old lady that's been through some things, that's dealing with things, that's sick in her head and sick in her body, because of all the medications they're pumping in them. You see people degrade over the years of going to minister to them in the nursing home. And then eventually they die, and you say, where'd Miss So-and-so go? Where'd Mr. So-and-so go? And it tears you up. But, you know, that's life. That's life. We're here for a short time. Your life is but a vapor, and then it vanishes away. And that's the end of it for some people. And, man, what a thing. Could be worse. Could be worse for some of those folks, but, you know, what a thing when their family is not around and you feel like you're all alone sitting in a wheelchair and you got IVs hooked to you and you're getting pumped full of medication because nurses and things don't want to deal with you. And there are great nurses out there, and I'm not trying to downgrade anyone, but there are some nasty, terrible ones too. And you gotta admit that. I've seen it. I've seen how they treat some of those patients. I've seen how they treat them in hospitals. But man, when you give yourself to God, and your thoughts are full of him, and everything you want to do is for him, you'll find that the blessing comes back around, and it gets right back on you. And that's a blessing. So, amen. About 5 minutes there, we'll take a break. Father, thank you, Lord, for this book. Lord, we thank you for your spirit. Pray that you would please, Lord, be with the preacher this morning. Pray that you'd speak to us again, Lord. And we thank you for your word. We thank you for this church. Pray that you please continue to bless this place, Lord. Continue to use us, Father. I pray for every one of us in here, Lord, to be of one mind. And our mind is to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ and to do what you tell us to do through your word. And without your word, we're nothing, Father, in this life. Without your spirit, we're nothing, Lord. And God, without the Lord Jesus Christ, we are nothing. We have nothing. And I just pray that you would please help us, Father, to carry on and to just be less of ourselves and then be full of you. And we just help us to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless the service to come, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.